Greetings, grace to you from Jesus Christ, our King, and from God our Father. Amen. Well, today I'd like to talk with you about political correctness, and especially about proclaiming the name of Christ in a politically correct world, about living as a Christian in a politically correct climate, because we certainly seem to be living in that kind of a world, don't we? We hear about it all the time. And the question is, how do we do it? And should a Christian use politically correct speech when he's going about his business? Or should he submit to politically correct speech? Or should he buck the tide? Is it ever okay for a Christian to make waves, do you think? Is it ever okay for a Christian to hurt a feeling or to offend anyone? That's the really big thing, offense. Is it ever okay for us to do that? Or should we just do what we're told and say what we're supposed to say? So let's talk today and see what God would teach us in his scriptures, the word, about political correctness and what he wants to say to his people about living in a politically correct age, as indeed we are. So what's God teach us about that? Well, first off, let's just get a little definition on political correctness, at least according to what I found on Wikipedia on the internet. It says here, and I'll read it, that this is an abbreviated from what it said. It said, political correctness is a term that denotes language that's seeking to minimize offense to others with respect to their gender, race, culture, sexual orientation, or religious beliefs and or ideologies. So to put it in other words, it's all about words, isn't it? Political correctness is really about what you can say and what you can't say, or what you should say or should not say. And it's really driven by this fear. If you step outside the lines, you're in big trouble. One of the cardinal rules of political correctness is you shall never offend anyone. Amen? Isn't that what it is? Oh, I took offense at this. Oh, you hurt my feelings. Oh, that was insensitive. And we're never supposed to tread on anybody else's feelings by our words, because that's against the law, at least the law of political correctness. And so what are we supposed to do, or what are we told to do? Keep your mouth shut. Don't say anything that might challenge a person's behavior or their beliefs. You got to say everybody's all-inclusive, everybody's in the right way, nobody's doing anything wrong, and so be it. So gone are the days of being like two mountain goats, you know, locking horns on the mountains in a great battle. Forget that. To make waves is forbidden. To stand for your beliefs and tell somebody else you are wrong, that is taboo. And to offend anyone is against the law. And you know that's true. If you watch the news or anything else, or move around in this world at all, that's what it's about. And the kind of basic rule in a nutshell, at least on the surface, is be polite. Now, and be nice, to put it in a few words. What's God say to us about all this in his word, the scriptures? Well, let's take a look. First of all, is it ever right for us to use politically correct language and to be politically correct as Christians? In one sense, yes. In fact, we're all about it in one sense. Because let me show you right here in the Bible, if you open up or just listen here to 1 Corinthians 10, listen to how Paul talks about his life and his ministry. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 32, he says, give no offense to Jews or to Greeks or the church of God, just as I try to please all men in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. So did Paul try to give offense to people unnecessarily? No, he actually did anything he could not to offend unnecessarily. Unnecessarily. Now he jumps over here in 1 Corinthians 9, he says, to the Jews I became as a Jew in order to win the Jews. In other words, I was sensitive to their cultural customs so as not to offend them, so I could preach to them that they might be saved. Same thing with the Gentiles. He says, to those outside the law, that's Gentiles, I became as one outside the law. to win those outside the law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I've become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." So in other words, as Christians, according to God's word, we're not supposed to give offense to people unnecessarily. We should be sensitive to where they are in their lives so that we are not stepping on their toes in such a way that we get in the way of preaching to them the gospel of Christ. You don't want to offend somebody on something small and then they miss the gospel. You want to do what you can not to offend them so that you can get them the gospel, that they be saved. So that's certainly how Paul lived. And he tells us in Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, he says, "Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt." What's salt do? Makes things taste good, right? So let your speech be that way, that you may know how you ought to answer everyone. And Peter tells us in his first letter, he says, "Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who calls you to account for the hope that's in you, yet do it with gentleness and," who knows it, "respect." So when people in the world want to look at Christians and say, you're a bunch of haters and stuff like that, is that true? We're really super kind and respectful. Even when we disagree with someone, we do speak out, but we do it with gentleness, kindness, respect, reverence, seeking not to offend unnecessarily. So when you think of Christians, we don't act hysterically. We don't go ballistic. You know, there are a lot of people in the world, if you tick them off in any way, they're going to come and burn and loot, you know, the town shops. And like this, there's a Christian artist. No, sorry, I meant not a Christian artist. A guy who came and, if you've seen that piece of art in New York, it's actually the guy, very blasphemous. He has a picture of Christ on a cross, and he submerged it in his own urine. Okay, disgusting. Horrible. That's terrible. But do you think that Christians are going to go now and threaten this guy, intimidate him, and kill him, as happens in other parts of the world for offenses? We're going to speak out against it, but you don't have to worry that we're going to kill you, because that's not the Christian way. You remember, it says in Scripture, we're to do good to all, to return blessings to people for curses, to pray for those who abuse us, even for our enemies. Christ on the cross, to the people who nailed him to the tree, Jesus prays, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." So in one sense, in terms of political correctness, we're all for it. Because if political correctness is about being nice, we're all for that, because that's our aim. But now, I need to say that's not what political correctness is all about, is it? Just being nice. Because there's bigger questions to it. The bigger question is, what about when the politically correct world tells us you must keep your mouth shut about speaking about Christ or his name or his word? And that's really what you usually see, right? As soon as the Christian speaks up for God's truth, then political correctness comes and says, "Oh, you're stepping outside the line now, oh Christian." For example, if we want to say that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by him, the world gets very upset. No, you got to affirm all religions, that they all lead to God. They're equal paths to heaven, says the world. We would say that sex outside of marriage, that is wrong. That's a sin. No, says political correctness. That's just preferred lifestyle. That's the word for it. Or abortion is wrong, and murder, we would say. No, says political correctness. That's just a woman's right to choose. Stop being such a hater, right? Anytime you speak this word, political correctness, you need to know, and we need to know, has an agenda behind it. It's not just about niceness. It's got its own religion, and it says, if you speak against our religion, watch out. We're going to come against you with hate speech, although they won't call it hate speech. They'll start calling you names. And the world really likes to threaten with respect to political correctness to make us be in fear. What's God tell us? He says, you, my people, you're to be respectful to everybody, but when the world tells you to keep quiet about my word, I've commanded you to speak and not be silent, and my command is be defiant in this case and speak my word without fear. But the world likes to threaten us. Threaten and fear is the great weapon behind political correctness, don't you think? You see some guy on the news, he says something one day, which is reasonable. Like, for example, all lives matter. Do all lives matter? Sure. And then he gets attacked by the politically correct crowd. He gets afraid and he says, oh no, I didn't really mean that all lives matter. That kind of thing. It's fear. It's the weapon. If we say that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to heaven, you're a hater. If we say anything, they would say, God forbid, against Islam, anybody who speaks against that, you're an Islamophobe. If you say homosexual behavior is wrong, you're a homophobe. Like, I'm afraid of homosexuality? No, not afraid of that. But that's the name they call. And if you say it's only in Jesus Christ that salvation is to be found, they say you are a mean-spirited religious fanatic, right? Don't you hear this all the time? It's true. And so it's interesting that political correctness, which claims to be niceness, is not so nice when you step outside of their agenda. And they use hate speech against you for just speaking God's word. That's really ridiculous. So it's really a religion. So what should we do when you feel that fear and you feel like, oh, I shouldn't speak the name of Christ? That's the politically correct fear machine working on you. What should you do? Well, you say, what's the example of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Because he's the one I want to follow. Let's see just for a moment, how politically correct was Jesus? What do you think? If you open up this book, the scriptures, and read about our Savior, what was he like in his life? Let's take a look at Luke chapter 13 to start out. Let me read this to you. You answer to me how politically correct he is. Luke 13, verse 31. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you. And Jesus said to them, go and tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finish my course. What did Jesus call Herod? A fox. Does that sound politically correct to you? This is our Savior, by the way, friends. That fox, I speak against him. He wasn't afraid. Let's take a look over here at the beginning of that chapter, Luke 13. There were some present at that very time who told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, this is Jesus' answer. Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered thus? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Does Jesus beat around the bush here? Is he afraid of offending? This is a very offensive word. He speaks it straight and sure, the truth of God's word, that they might be saved. Over here in John chapter 8, let me open up to another one. Let's see how straight and sure he is. Jesus says, verse 23, you're from below. I'm from above. You're of this world. I'm not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for you will die in your sins unless you believe that I am he. How straight and clear is Jesus about this, that you've got to believe in him to be saved? Clear as a bell. Amen? Politically correct? How long would Jesus last in our world speaking like this and not make the headlines? Jesus says in Matthew 12, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for every tree is known by its fruit. Verse 34, he says, you brood of vipers. What is that? He calls them poisonous snakes, venomous asps. Does that sound politically correct to you? He says, how can you speak good when you're evil? For out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. So Jesus offended people, but he did so not unnecessarily, like a bull in a china shop. He offended them by speaking the word straight and clear. And he told them the truth. He called a spade, and he let the chips fall where they may. And nothing stopped him. No fear stopped them from pulling punches, namely about he spoke the truth of Scripture, and that made him fearsome to his enemies. Amen? I mean, when the scribes and the chief priests sent people to arrest Jesus, officers came with orders, arrest this man. They came and listened to him, And they returned to the chief priests without Jesus, and the chief priest said, "Where is he? Why didn't you bring him?" And the officers answered, "No man ever spoke like this man." Right? Wow, they could not endure the power of his words. And I'll ask you a question. If that's our king and we are his people, what kind of speech does God want us to have? Free or fettered and chained up and locked? Which is what political correctness is trying to do. Tie up your tongue in a bow so that you can't speak his name. When Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. So Jesus never offended anyone unnecessarily, but when it came to speaking the truth, let the chips fall where they may. And guess what? He spoke strongly and did offend people at times to wake them up with the purpose of saving their souls. And do you think people are going to wake up to repentance by just soft cuddling and cooing all the time? You know, we need to speak respectfully and kindly in love, but you got to speak straight and clear. Imagine if you were in the Arctic and you had a dear friend who's dying of hypothermia. What happens when you're dying of hypothermia? After a while, you stop shivering, you become really warm, you start to fall asleep, you feel really comfortable, you're freezing to death. You're dying. What do you do to your friend in that case? "Oh, come on, Tommy, wake up. Come on." No, you say, "Wake up, man. You know, you're about to die. Don't fall asleep." And that's the kind of word Jesus used. That's the kind of word we need to use to wake people up to the truth, free speech, that they live and not die. So I ask you again, do you think your speech today is chained up? Are there chains somehow on your lips through fear because of political correctness? It goes for all of us, myself included. And the beautiful thing is God is unchaining it more and more as we live and grow in Christ. We have a long way to go, but let's ask, because guess what? God's free speech, is it free? Is he getting locked up in any way? Is he afraid to speak, God in heaven? He speaks, he's not afraid, his speech is free. And he says, "My people, your speech should be free. Don't let the political correct religion keep you from speaking my name and my son's name to the world and my word." But maybe you might be thinking this. Let's just back off and say, maybe you're thinking this. Maybe you're saying, this is just Jesus' day. People talk like that back then. They don't talk like that now. If Jesus lived in 2017, he would be towing the line like the rest of us in a politically correct age. You think so? Maybe you said that, maybe you didn't. But that might be an argument. Let me ask you a question. How old is political correctness? Is this a newfangled thing? Just come along in the last couple years? Can I show you in the Bible that it was around forever? Let's take a look. For example, Old Testament. Go to 852 BC was the year. 1 Kings 22. Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and Ahab, king of Samaria, that's Israel, they're going to go to war together. And Jehoshaphat, who's the faithful king, and says to Ahab, "Inquire first for the word of the Lord." In other words, before we go up to battle, let's ask what God would say about it. Then the king of Israel, Ahab, the wicked king, gathers all his Baal prophets, the bad guys, 400 of them, and they all say with one accord, "Go up to battle, you're going to win." Jehoshaphat then says, "But isn't there here a prophet of the Lord of whom we may acquire, of Yahweh?" And you know what King Ahab says? "Well, there's one guy, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, but I hate him, for he never speaks good concerning me, but only evil." I don't like this guy. He's got hate speech. He never says anything good about me. King Jehoshaphat says, "Let's hear him." So he comes, and when the messenger goes to Micaiah, he says, "Behold, the words of the prophets with one accord are favorable to the king. Let your word be like one of them. Speak favorably." What is this? Political correctness in 852 BC. BC! Let your word, Micaiah, not be the word of the Lord. Just speak like everybody else is talking and say something that we all want to hear. Don't tell us the word of the Lord. What happens? Micaiah gets up there, and he jokes with the king first, satirically, but then he says, "All right, you want to hear the word? Here it is. I saw all Israel scattered upon the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. In other words, you go up to die. The king, Ahab, then gets very furious. Didn't I tell you that he would not speak good concerning me but evil? And he throws him into the prison with scant fare of food until he comes again. And Micaiah says, if you come again back from battle, the Lord hasn't spoken by me. In other words, you're going to go up there and die, O king. That's the word of the Lord. And he did. He went up and died. Is there political correctness in 852 BC? You tell me yes or no. Speak it out loud. Yes, yes there was. Was there political correctness in Jesus' day that he had to buck against? Look over here. Matthew chapter 15, friends. Over here. Matthew 15, verse 10. Check out these words. Verse 10. Jesus said, hear and understand, not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but that comes out of the mouth defiles a man. The disciples came and said to Jesus, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? What was that word? You tell me. Offended? Jesus was offending people and he was breaking the cardinal rule back then. Political correctness. What was Jesus' answer? Did he cower? Did he buckle? Did he backpedal? Did he take it back? Did he apologize? His answer, let them alone. They're blind guides. And a blind man is going to lead a blind man into a pit. Don't worry about them. Let's just keep going. Right? Is that the way we answer it? Was there political correctness in the apostles' days? Let's just do one more example here in Acts chapter 4. Peter and John have been arrested for speaking the name of Jesus in the temple, and the chief rulers there are trying to decide what to do with him. What should we do with these men, Peter and John, for that a notable sign has been performed through them is manifest to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem? We can't deny it. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, this is verse 17, watch this, he says, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name. Does that sound like today, 2017, to you? You will no more speak to anyone in this man's name. Keep your mouth shut. Stop mentioning the name of Jesus. Same thing that's happening today. And what are Peter and John's answer? Well, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. But as for us, we cannot but speak of what we've seen and heard. In other words, we're not listening to you on this one. Jesus' name will be on our lips. Thank you. Is that the way you speak? Well, may we be led there by our Lord. This brings up then the major point, one we need to mark well today. What is political correctness really about? It's a religion. It really has an agenda. As long as you tow its agenda, they're okay with you. The moment you speak against it and speak for Christ, they're not going to be so nice to you at that point. And the real point of political correctness is by fear to eradicate the name of Jesus Christ from speech and the word of God from speech. And therefore, there is a spirit behind political correctness. This is not just human origin. There is a spirit behind it that is against Christ because notice, whenever you speak for Christ and for Jesus Christ, that's when political correctness gets all its tail feathers up in a dander or whatever you want to say. Can I prove that to you or show it to you? 2013, Florida Atlantic University, Dr. Poole told the students to write Jesus' name on a piece of paper, put it on the ground, and stomp on it. And then one student, Ryan Rotella, said, I'm not going to sit by in this class and have my religious rights desecrated. He complained, and he was suspended from class. Notice, it's the name of Jesus Christ that it was about, and the school sided with the professor. And this exercise was even in the official instructor's manual. Now, let me ask you a question. If this instructor had said, let's write Muhammad's name on a piece of paper, put it on the ground and stomp on it, what would have happened to that professor? You're out of here. But Jesus' name? That's all right, because we are against that. Notice, there's something going on here. There's a spirit behind it. 2015, Coach Joe Kennedy of the football coach in Washington State bowed his knee at the 50-yard line. Remember this? for 15 to 20 seconds at the conclusion of each game to thank God for player safety, sportsmanship, and spirited competition. He was told to stop. He didn't. They fired him. But in the same place, a guy was doing Buddhist chants at the 50-yard line. No repercussions for him. There's a spirit behind this that's against Christ's name. In government, 2014, the city of Houston's first openly lesbian mayor, Anise Parker, issued subpoenas demanding a group of pastors in her city turn over any sermons they've preached on homosexuality. Remember this? She was speaking to silence and to bully them. She didn't do this to other people, but to Christians to stop the preaching of the word, to police them. There's a spirit behind this. You see it in the media. I won't get into it. In the Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, just in this last week, in the military, in churches. I'll tell you, when I was at that liberal seminary years ago, not of this denomination, for a year, and there was a strong push for inclusive language. Remember, words, that's what it's about. You shall not speak of God as Father or Jesus as Son. What? That's all over the scriptures. What are you doing? They're trying to curb the preaching of Jesus Christ. And I eventually had to lead that denomination through an interrogation board that they brought me up there. And they wanted me to give up saying Jesus is the only way to be saved and through faith in him. And they put pressure, bully, threatening to get me to come over to their side. I can't do that. I'm a Christian. So I left. But there's a spirit behind all this. And so what we need to know today, as we get toward the end here, is that this is a battle not of human origins. It's of spiritual origins, and it stretches all the way back through the history of the world, just as much today as it was then, and then as it is today. And it's always against something, it's for ungodly things, and it's always against Christ, his word, and especially his name, and all this under the guise, the cloak, the mask of niceness. But what do we read there of the devil in 2 Corinthians 11? Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it's not strange if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. The end will correspond to their deeds. They all talk about niceness until you mention the name of Christ, and then they're not so nice. And so let that be a lesson to us. They're trying to put your name, your word, tied up through fear. God says, open your lips. I am a free God with free speech, and my people are people of free speech. Kind, respectful, gentle, loving, but strong and clear and sure. And we don't back down. For Jesus says, everyone who acknowledges me before men, I'll also acknowledge before my Father who's in heaven. But he who denies me before men, I'll also deny before my Father who's in heaven. And so, David, we need to pray like him who says, oh, Lord, open my lips. My mouth shall show forth my praise. Unlock them. Take off those chains. Let me speak your name. And I tell you today, friends, speak and live as Christians as if you never even heard of political correctness. Conquer it. Defy it. Because we are people who are free. And our Lord and Savior spoke freely for us. He told Pilate, I've come to bear witness to the truth. And everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And let me just give you, to conclude here, a few very clear words from our Lord. Not politically correct, but wonderful and free. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me, that person has eternal life. He doesn't come into judgment, but he's passed out of death into life. For Jesus died for our sins, rose again. Through him you have redemption. You have salvation. You have freedom. And this is the will of my Father, says Jesus, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. And I, personally, will raise him up at the last day. And blessed is he who takes no offense at me. So God, open our lips, unlock them, give us free speech, Lord, as yours is free. In Jesus' name. Amen.